good thing about this is those that are not able to get out this morning, some of them are able to watch it on the live streaming, so that's a good thing. Open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. This morning we're going to continue to look at the different covenants of the Bible. We've been studying the covenants now for a few weeks, and we learned the difference between what a covenant is and what a testament is. We learned that a testament is, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is really the blood. In the Old Testament, it was about the blood of bulls and goats. In the New Testament, it's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the testaments, the two testaments, are covenants, but not all covenants are testaments. What a covenant is a promise that God has made. And some of those promises that God has made, he made to individuals. Some he made to nations. Some he made to all of mankind. In fact, one of the covenants we already looked at, he made it to every creature on the earth. We also learned that all the covenants, when we talk about covenants, they can either be conditional or unconditional. Conditional covenant means that it's conditioned upon something. In other words, God would make a promise to do something if somebody else would do something. Unconditional promise is God makes a promise and it doesn't matter what the other person does. And that's an unconditional promise. When we began looking at the different covenants or promises that God had given in the Old Testament, we started off with the very first covenant in the Bible, and that is what's called the Adamic Covenant. And the Adamic Covenant was a promise that God, not only did God give to Adam and Eve, but to all of mankind, telling them how things were going to be different now that the fall of mankind had happened. Since they ate the fruit, things were obviously going to be different than the way they were before they ate the fruit. We saw things like, the earth is cursed. Man had to work by the sweat of his brow. The women would have, sorrow and childbearing, those sorts of things. And all of that is for all of mankind. And of course, we also learned that death passed upon all men, because one of the things that God told Adam was, from the earth you came and from the earth you'll return. And that's only true after the fall. Before the fall, there was no death, because the wages of sin is death. And so that was the Adamic covenant. And then we saw the Noahic covenant, which was given to not only all of mankind, but also to every creature on the earth. And that was a promise that God would never again destroy this earth with a flood of water. Now, again, we know that according to 2 Peter 3, that God is going to destroy this earth with fire one day. But he's never going to destroy this, he's never going to flood this entire earth ever again. And God even gave his rainbow as a token of that covenant. And every time that God sees that rainbow, he remembers that promise. Then last week, we looked at the Abrahamic covenant, which is, it's a covenant that's misunderstood by many people today, because God gave a promise to Abraham and his seed. Now, you got to be careful, because last week we learned that there is the physical seed of Abraham, in other words, his actual descendants, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Benjamin and all those what we call the fathers. That's his physical seed. But then also he has a spiritual seed, because Jesus Christ also came from the seed of Abraham. And as Christians, we are placed in Christ, so therefore we are the children of Abraham spiritually. You read about that over in Galatians chapter 3. And when God gave promises to Abraham, some of it was given to his descendants, his actual physical descendants, which would be all the Jews today. Some of those promises would be like the land. The land was given to the Jews, his physical seed, not his spiritual seed. Also, the promise over in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where God says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That was given to his physical descendants. But there's also been some promises that were given to his spiritual descendants, or his spiritual seed, which is us. And those promises include that we will be like the stars of the sky, that there'll be many of us, that there'll be every nation on the earth will be blessed through Abraham, and that's certainly true because today it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Doesn't matter what nation you're from. And so that those are promises made, but you got to be able to distinguish which promise was made to the physical seed and which promise was made to the spiritual seed. A lot of people mess up on that. And then today, we're going to look at another covenant, and that covenant today is what's called the Mosaic Covenant, or the covenant that God gave to Israel through the speaking of Moses. Now, this is our first conditional covenant. Now, the other ones, the promise that God made to Adam and mankind, to Noah and mankind, to Abraham and mankind, those were unconditional. In other words, those are true no matter what Israel does, is true no matter what mankind does. What God said is going to stand. But when it came to the Mosaic covenant, this is a conditional covenant that God made to Israel, meaning that certain conditions had to be met before God would do what he promised to do. And we see this covenant in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up into Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took his hand and the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all the people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that open the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the first fruit of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering of the year's end. Thrice in a year shall all your children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount that Moses visit not that the, that, that Moses visit Moses was not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And so in these verses, we are shown how Moses had went back up to Mount Sinai to receive the law. If you remember, Moses had already went up Mount Sinai once, and he came down with the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on them, and he ended up breaking those commandments on the ground when he saw that Israel had been worshiping the golden calf. And so after he broke those tablets of stone on the ground, God said, Moses, I want you to come back up here, and I'm going to make you two more tables of stone, and I'm going to put these commandments on it the second time. And so Moses goes back on Mount Sinai, and he got the law again from God. And while God was giving Moses the law, God made a conditional promise to Moses concerning the children of Israel, and that the promise was that God would do marvels such as not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people which thou shalt see the work of the Lord. In other words, he says, I'm going to do great things for you. He said he would cast out the nations that were in the land of Canaan so that Israel could go possess the land that God had already promised them through the Abrahamic covenant. He says in verse 11, he says, observe that thou which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out from thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now that was the promise or a covenant that God made, that God gave Israel through Moses. God said that if Israel would keep his laws, he would drive out the inhabitants of the land and bless Israel greatly. Now, the laws that God gave to Israel were more than the Ten Commandments. So a lot of people today think that when it comes to the law, it's just the Ten Commandments. There's a whole lot more to that. Now, the Ten Commandments are what we call the moral laws, even though the Bible never actually calls it the moral laws. That's what we do. But we call them the moral laws, but there were also other laws that were given to the children of Israel as well. For instance, ceremonial laws. We read about that just now in that passage where they'd have to keep the Passover and have to keep the Feast of Weeks and those different feasts. And also they had to make different sacrifices that had been made when people messed up and sinned. You had the sin sacrifice and the sacrifice for trespasses and those sorts of things. There were also social laws that God gave Israel, such as, you know, how much to recompense somebody if your ox got loose and hurt somebody. That would be, you know, laws like that. That's what we call social laws. All in all, there were about 613 precepts beside the Ten Commandments that were given to the Jews. And so today when somebody says, well, I think you need to keep the law, there was never a time when people only had to keep the Ten Commandments. That time has never been. If you had to keep the law, you had to keep all of those 613 precepts. Okay, it's more than just the Ten Commandments. You also had the ceremonial laws, you had the social laws, all those things. So if a person today says, I believe you need to keep the law, that person doesn't even understand what they're saying. They don't even know all the law. In fact, I have usually, whenever somebody tells me they need to keep the law, one of the first things I say to them is this, can you tell me what the law is? And very few people can even name all the Ten Commandments, let alone tell you even some of the laws that were given to the Jews. Now, another thing I want to point out, too, is when it comes to the written law, the written law was given only to the Jews. No Gentile on this earth was ever given the written law, okay? In fact, the Bible says that the law, when it comes to the Gentiles, is written on their hearts. You might want to write this or put this down in a So write this somewhere down in your Bible for a cross reference, but Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, that means the Gentiles do not have the written law, they've never been given that law that came down from Mount Sinai. It was never given to them. It was given to the children of Israel. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What that's saying is this, is that a person today who goes out and steals something, or a person today who goes out and kills somebody, he knows it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. It's written in the, under hearts. It's a law that's given there. And so it's written on the hearts. Now, so the question is should we keep the Ten Commandments today? Well, yes, we should, because we know that when it comes to Ten Commandments, if you break one of those Ten Commandments, you're certainly not pleasing the Lord. But as Christians today, except for keeping the Sabbath, you know, those commandments were, the Sabbath was never given to any Gentile, ever, but we should keep the rest of the law because it pleases the Lord. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love the Lord, you should do what he tells you to do, and you should obey those Ten Commandments. And we should feel bad if we break those Ten Commandments, because the law is written on our hearts. But keeping the commandments never had anything to do with salvation, not even in the Old Testament. It never had anything to do with salvation. For us, Christ fulfilled the law when he died on the cross, and he was the end of the law for those who believe. And back in the Old Testament, the keeping of the commandments was done by faith and is required as part of a conditional covenant. God said, if you keep my commandments and statutes, I will bless you. But there was a difference between this covenant and other covenants that we looked at so far. Remember, the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant were promises made by God, and there were no conditions on those to be met before God would keep his promise. But with this promise that God gave to Moses, he said, if you do these things, if you keep these commandments, in fact, he even called the commandments the covenant. He goes, if you keep these things, I'm going to bless you. And so they would have had to keep those things in order for God to hold up his end of the deal. Now, in Exodus chapter 34, look at verse 12. Notice he says this, and here's the condition. He says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. What he's basically saying is this, I'm going to make a promise to you, I'm going to make a covenant to you. If you obey it, I'm going to bless you. But beware, because if you make a covenant with them, then the covenant with me is off, is what he's basically saying. Now look at verse 15 and 16 again. He says, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods. What he's saying is I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. You're going to obey me. You're going to be obedient to me. That's the covenant. If you do that, I'll bless you. But if you do not do that, if you make a covenant with those other gods and those other people, then the deal's off. And so that's what God says here. And God says, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll give you victory over your enemies. I'll bless you greatly. But if you don't keep God's laws and statutes, God will not give them the victory over their enemies, and instead they would be dominated by their enemies. Now, over in the second reading of the law, and that's what the book of Deuteronomy is. If you look at the DEU in the first part of Deuteronomy, it's where you get the word deuce and other type of words. It means second or two. It's the second reading of the law. In the book of Deuteronomy, we see the same condition mentioned there. But this time in Deuteronomy, it gives even greater detail to it. So turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we look at this promise that God makes. And, you know, over in Exodus chapter 34, I mean, we see that God's going to bless them greatly by pushing out their enemies out of the land and giving them victories over the land. But when God says he's going to bless Israel, if they do what he says to do, and they keep his law and his commands and his statutes, he was really offering them a great deal, because we're going to read here in Deuteronomy just how wonderful it would have been for the Jews had they obeyed the law and kept that covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, look if you would, starting at verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. In other words, God is faithful to keep his covenant with those who obey his commandments, talking about the conditional covenant with Moses, or the Mosaic covenant. Now look at verse 10. It says, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass if, now that's a condition, I mean, there's an if there. In other words, I'm going to do it for you. I'll bless you if you do what I tell you to do. Wherefore it shall come to pass if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, and increase in thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Look at verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now get this. If these people will have just obeyed God's commandments and the statutes that he gave to Moses there on Mount Sinai, not only would their oil and their wine increase, not only would their flocks increase and their enemies be delivered to them, but they would not, none of them would have even gotten sick, not even to a sniffle. I mean, can you imagine 2.5 million people and none of them would have ever gotten sick if they had obeyed the law? That's a pretty good deal. Verse 16, and thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose of them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto the people of whom thou art afraid. God's saying, if you obey my commandments, I'm going to treat all your enemies just like I treated Egypt when I buried them in the sea. Verse 20, moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they are left and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Now, I don't know how much you like being stung by bees, and I don't know if you've ever been stung by a hornet, but a hornet hurts. And what the Lord is basically saying here is, I'm going to destroy your enemies, and those that run and hide, I'm going to send hornets after them. And they're going to destroy those people. In other words, there's not going to be any place that these people could hide, the enemies of Israel. Verse 21, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings unto thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. That's God's promise to them. If the people obeyed his commandments, that's what they have coming. If they had obeyed his commands and his statutes and what he wrote on those tablets. And you know, and some people say this. They say, well, there's just no way that people could obey the law. Yes, they could. In the Old Testament, the way they obeyed the law, because the Lord had in the law what to do in case you broke the law. In other words, let's say, I mean, we all sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. And so you say, well, there's no way the Old Testament saints could have kept the law. In the law, the Lord said, if you sin, there's a sacrifice for sin. There's a sacrifice for trespasses. So when you did mess up day to day, you could still keep the law by doing those sacrifices. It's like today. You know, we mess up, we sin every day, but what are we supposed to do when we do sin? We're supposed to repent of that sin and confess that sin, and we can stay in fellowship with the Lord. Just because we sin every now and then, just because we sin every day, doesn't mean that we can't stay in fellowship with the Lord, doesn't mean that we can't stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, how can I do that if I sin? But you've got to do what the Lord told you to do when you do sin. And that's confess your sins, repent of that sin, stay right with God. In the Old Testament, it was the same way. He said, keep my commandments. And part of those commandments was when you mess up, when you have an impure thought, or let's say you don't pay a farmer, Farmer Brown, because your ox come out and gored somebody, and you decide not to do what the Bible told you to do, what are you to do? Well, you're supposed to go over and offer a sin offering to make things right with God, okay? And so that's what they were able to keep the commandments. And so it's not like God told them to do something they couldn't do. And if they had kept those commandments, God says, listen, if you keep my commandments, and if those that love me keep my commandments, and I'm going to bless those that love me, I'm going to bless those that keep the commandments, I'm going to make it to where you don't get sick, I'm going to make it as a nation to where you don't have to worry about your enemies, I'm going to make it to where you're going to be, all your flocks are going to increase, all your herds are going to increase, I'm going to make things great for you in the land that I gave you. That's what he said. That's if you keep the commandments. Now flip over to chapter 8 and look what God says starting in verse 11. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, here comes what Israel was supposed to do. And if Israel did this rather than obeying God's commandments, then God is going to tell them, okay, if you don't obey my commandments, this is what's going to happen to you. And you're going to see it's far different than what God said would be if they obeyed the commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. You know, we always seem to forget the Lord and forget what he's done for us. We all, when we start to think more highly of ourselves, and when we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, pretty soon we think that we don't need God anymore, and we're lifted up, and that happens a lot. Whenever things are going good, we start to think that everything that we have is because of the work that we did, and we forget that everything we have, God gave us. There's nothing we have that God hasn't given us, and so we always need to be thankful. We always need to be humble. Before the Lord. We should never think much of ourselves. But he said this, he says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. A lot of Christians say that today. A lot of Christians will look at the things that they've been given by the Lord, and they start to think it's because of something they did. I hear some people say, I worked hard all my life to get what I've got, and I'm proud of what I've got. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 17, thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. In other words, if you choose to disobey me, if you choose to not keep my commandments, and you choose to go over and worship false gods and serve them and worship them, he says, I testify you against you this day that ye shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, he's saying this, if you do not keep my commandments, the way I destroyed those other nations, when I delivered you out of them, I'm going to destroy you the same way. Now remember how he destroyed Egypt. Remember how he destroyed some of the nations that were in the promised land. And so that was the conditional Mosaic covenant. Now, question is this, did Israel keep their end of the bargain? Well, we read all the way through the Old Testament that they continually broke this covenant over and over and over and over. And you can see the results of that throughout the ages and certainly throughout the Bible because They did not, Israel did not keep their end of the bargain. They did not worship only God. They did not separate themselves from the people of the land and from the Gentiles. So therefore, God did not deliver them from their enemies. Those people got sick. There were women who were barren in the land. I think about Samuel's mom and John the Baptist's mom before God performed miracles and opened their womb. I mean, why were they barren? Because the children of Israel didn't keep the commandments. He said, listen, if you keep the commandments, nobody will have a barren womb. But they didn't. And so they got sick just like the other Gentiles. There was barrenness like the other Gentiles. They had to scrape for things like the rest of the nations. And they were never given victory over those other nations. Why? Because they didn't do what God told them to do. I mean, they turned down a great deal. And so, in fact, the Bible even says that not only did Israel get sick, and not only did he not give them victory over the enemies, but Israel ended up going into captivity and were even forced out of their land, all because they did not keep the condition of the Mosaic Covenant. Boy, if you think, what could have been if they had just obeyed God? But, you know, I wouldn't be too hard on them because, you know, God has promised us blessings. If we'll be obedient to him too. Now I'm not talking about being saved by the law. I'm not talking about that because, like I said, the law doesn't save. Keeping the law doesn't save anybody. But the Lord does say that if you love me, keep my commandments. And we do know that when we, if we will just do what the Lord told us to do, he's going to bless us. And you say, does that mean I have to be sinless? No. God already knows that you have a tendency to sin. He already knows that we're all going to sin. But he does expect you to do what you're told to do. Now, when you look at Israel here and you see, what they end up, what God ended up doing to them because they didn't obey the commandments, what that is, that's the chastening of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were still God's people, and God would chasten them for not obeying him. And so when you start to see them being led into captivity because they worshiped other gods, and you start to see the fact that they were forced off their land because they didn't obey the commandments, and you start to see that rather than having the sacrifices like they were supposed to, they no longer did that, and they kept on breaking the commandments, what did God do? Well, he forced them off the land. He scattered them all over the world. He allowed different nations to dominate over them. He sent them into captivity. I mean, they were in captivity from the time that Babylon, and then all of a sudden they came out of the captivity, and then they were ruled over with Greece, and they were ruled over with Neo-Persia, and they were ruled over with Rome, and they've been being ruled over for a long time. Why? They didn't keep the commandments, and what that was God chastening them. That's what he's doing. And may I tell you this morning that if we don't do what God tells us to do, and we refuse to start thinking, we refuse to humble ourselves, and we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. And when we start to forget God, when we start to forget to do what he told us to do, then the Lord's going to chasten us too. The Lord has promised us blessing if we will just do what he tells us to do. You're going to heaven either way. It doesn't matter. But he's promised us blessing if we'll do what he told us to do. But if we choose not to, then the same thing is going to happen to us as it did to Israel, and the Lord is going to chasten us. So the question I have this morning is, if you think about that Israel, and sometimes we say, well, boy, that's really, I can't believe they turned down such a good deal. God has promised us blessings and obedience if we'll do what he tells us to do as well. So really, how obedient to God are we? Do we do what the Lord tells us to do? Do you pray without ceasing? The Lord says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Do you avoid idolatry? A lot of Christians don't. I don't see too many Christians today getting before, a statue and bowing the knee. I'm talking about actual Christians. I'm talking about actual born-again Christians. I don't see them, worshiping a false god, that's made out of stone or made out of wood. But I do see some things that they place ahead of God. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. Do you study the Bible to show yourself approved unto God? Bible says to. If you do it, God will bless you. If you don't do it, then God won't bless you. Do you go out and witness to folks? You see, we're real hard on Israel. We're real hard on them saying, boy, if they should have kept the commandments. Well, yeah, so we should do what the Lord tells us to do as well. And so this is the Mosaic Covenant. Next week, we'll look at our next covenant that the Bible talks about, and that is the Palestinian Covenant. All right, we'll stop there this morning. Let's go ahead and pray.